When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
David Wells has pitched a perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells. And the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome!
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And we're going to pour up a double shot tonight for the young boys. For the Mets that played in the spring breakout game. I know I say I don't care about spring training, but listen to what I'm about to say. Last year, when the Mets punted at the deadline, and they did something that we almost never will see and never do see in baseball. They replenished their farm system, trading guys away, eating money to bring in young prospects. I mean, this is unprecedented. And these two young guys, one of them is not even old enough to drink. The other one's just barely old enough to drink. It's a double shot going one to Ryan Clifford, who Ryan Clifford is 20 years old, and the other guy is the pitcher that I saw tonight, and I'm reading this article about Brandon Sproat. Now, Brandon Sproat is a guy that can hit 99 to 101 on the gun. I'm reading this article, and Sproat retired the side in a matter of minutes. So he pitched an inning. He had two Ks. He hit 99 on the radar gun. When interviewed about it, he said, short and sweet. And he talked about, you know, working on the backfields and getting an opportunity to pitch in this game. The right-hander is ranked number 13 in the Mets prospects. And when you look at a kid like that, with the way that he throws the ball, it makes you dream. It makes you realize that, yes, signing these guys to one-year, two-year contracts, you may have some pitching waiting in the wings. His name is Brandon Sproat. I don't know if Mets fans watched. It was on the SNY app or SNY. I didn't watch it. But the Mets defeated the Washington Nationals in this game today 4-2. And I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Pete Alonso, but I keep bringing up this kid's name. He's a left-handed hitter. He's got some power. He hit a double today, Oppo. He's the number 4 prospect. His name is Ryan Clifford. And he just looks the part. And I'm giving him my Casamigos big shot of the night tonight, a double shot to Ryan Clifford and Brandon Sproat. These two kids might be in the future for the Mets, which could be sooner rather than later. 877-337-6666, LGYM. Let's go, Yankee Mets. I've got all Yankee calls, so spoiler alert, probably for the next hour, we're going to talk Yanks. And I told you to look up the schedule. Look at June. Look at where the Yankees are when we get to June. And if Gerrit Cole is going to miss April and May, and if this team cannot stay above water, June could get really scary for the New York Yankees. Let's go to Bobby in Belmore. Bobby, you're on The Fan.
Hi, Keith. You mentioned four things in the Yankees' past before I get to Cole. I just sit in the bleachers from 2000, 2013 with season tickets. I got rid of them because I saw Rivera and Pettit leaving. I saw the old guard leaving. Mm-hmm. 2015, I was at that Keuchel game. I got a ticket. 2-0 game, and I'm going to bring up Tanaka, we're comparing to Cole in a second. He brought up 2017, he fires Girardi, one game away from the ACLS because of his ego, the analytics, and all that crap. Yep. They haven't been since then. 2019, you mentioned Andujar and Frazier. Could have gotten Gerrit Cole for him. They don't want to give up the prospects. Cole pitches that swing game in ACLS. Maybe if Cole was, if, I guarantee if Cole was on the Yankees would have been the
Yeah, I was at that game too, yep.
Yes, I was at that game. Now I want to get to Cole and Tanaka. Now, Tanaka, when he tore his partially tear, he's a slow speed pitch. He was, and he threw the splitter. Okay, as you know, the two most strenuous pitchers on an elbow is the fastball and the slider, which is Cole's two best pitchers.
Right.
So, here, if he comes back, he doesn't come back mentally, physically, even emotionally, and Cole's an emotional pitcher. But, you know, he is. That makes him great, part of his greatness. he will not be the same pitcher this year. So I don't know whether he has to go for the Tommy John. He comes back in 2 months from now. Yeah, I don't see it. He's going to be in his head. He's going to want, you know, the question when he could throw that fastball 97, 98 miles an hour. And the slider, too, is very difficult on that elbow. And speaking of Snell, if Snell goes to the Astros, okay, Verlander probably be like a 2 or 3 starter when he comes back. He's not really number one anymore, Verlander anyway. But, I mean, Texas, I know they have that cable deal, but you know, situation, but they might be desperate and go get Montgomery. So, I mean, it could be a domino effect. But, you know, I just don't see Cole coming back as the Cole this year. He might, you know, I don't know whether he gets Tommy John or not, because, you know, I just don't see him being, I see him close to having
it's,
a 40.
It's not solid at all. There's no way as a Yankee fan or organization you can bank on, Garrett Cole's coming back, he avoided Tommy John. I think you got to make another move, but I know that they're not. I just know that they're not. They're gonna go into the season and see what they have with these guys, which it's already shaky trying to figure out, who's going to take the ball on opening day? And you're relying on, now without Cole, I remember Rami was producing for me, and he said we had to replace over 400 innings before we lost Cole. Then you add Cole's inning, we got to replace 600 more innings. These guys that are in our rotation pitched half a year last year.
And you know that those three other, two, three, and four starters, you know, Cortez, Rodan, Stroman, you know there are going to be injuries among those three. So, I mean, they're going to have to go really deep into their staff. And, you know, I guess, you know, they don't want to spend the $66 million on Snell, and, you know, with the tax relief. And also another thing with Snell, I could see him going to Houston because there is a tax break, too. I should still say tax. So, you know, that's not only making, they'll be making a couple of 35, 36, you know, million, you know, without the state tax. Now, quickly, I want to get to Rogers because I couldn't get to yesterday. The producer hung up on me. I don't think I'm another caller. I don't know. But that's another story. But Rogers, okay, he says, the Jets have so much BS, there's too much BS going around. Newsflash to Rogers. You're the one that's bringing the BS to the Jets.
Yeah, we got
to
get all the distractions out of the...
The Jeopardy, the Kimball, the Jimmy Kimball.
Yeah, the ayahuasca. I'm coming back. I'm actually going to come back and play late in the season. No, you're not.
And I don't think Lazar wants to be traded, so that's just a sign. He's one of his buddies.
Yeah, he was a healthy scratch last year, multiple games. He did nothing last year.
He wants to be traded. So it just shows you that this is what the – and again, a 33-year-old offensive lineman, Tyrone Smith, back in, you know, this guy's another injured, off-injured player.
Yeah.
To protect, I don't understand what the thinking is. I mean, yeah, they got an average, you know, he's okay, the guy from the Ravens, I got to get the right tackle. He's an average offensive tackle. But then they get another off-injured, like, you know, they had an off-injured tackle in Moore last year, Beckton we know about. It's going to be the same movie all over again. And they're stuck with Rodgers for another year. It's guaranteed money. So, you know, I know they're going to clean the house, but it's going to be another year wasted. And I don't care. You know, Burns, I didn't even have double sacks, you know, for the, you know, talking about, that was the Giants, I'm sorry. But, you know, if their defense could just play great for so long, I mean, who knows if they're going to be another elite defense next year.
Thanks for the call, Bobby. Yeah, I don't know. None of us know. I think it's an uphill climb as well because of your coaching staff, right? So if you don't absolutely hit on all these offensive moves and the drafts, or and the draft, your staff's not going to really be able to help you. 877-337-6666. We're fooling ourselves if we think that one man makes them that much better, but we do know that he's a mastermind. He's a offensive genius. Like, the guy sees the field differently. But Father Time is undefeated. You saw it last year. There's a lot of moving parts here. You add Tyron Smith, who is a little bit older, and I've said as a Dallas Cowboys fan, he was injured all the time. I mean, they didn't even let him practice. Like, he would skip practice during the week to stay healthy. Up to $20 million. We'll see how it goes. 877. You know the number to dial. We're still talking Yanks. All my calls are Yankees. But Jets fans, I mean, we laid into Tyron Smith and Mike Williams coming to visit and Jadeveon Clowney coming to visit. And now you have John Simpson and Moses Malone and Tyrod Taylor. They have made some moves. Javon Kinlaw, Solomon Thomas. I applaud Joe Douglas. But, of course, there's more distractions this week with Aaron Rodgers and just nonsense that Like, this guy literally said, we got to eliminate all those distractions. And, oh, really, he was talking about, we got to get the mole out of there. We got to get, you know, some of the media members out of there. Whatever. We'll see. It's a long way to go before we get to training camp, even before we get to OTAs. Let's go to Pearl River, New York, and talk to Ryan on the Fan. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Keith. So, I'm just going to piggyback off the Gerrit Cole news. I'm wondering where you want to perceive this, because I think we're thinking of it more as a loss performance-wise, but I'm thinking maybe with the Boone formula these past years, it might be an issue of attitude. So I'm thinking, like, I don't know, it sounds crazy, but if he's supposed to come back in June, maybe having, like, a low-cut deal, veteran presence, like, I don't know, maybe even someone like Sabathia in there just to maybe boost morale around the locker room.
Sabathia? What are you talking about?
I don't know, like, I feel like he's willing to help the organization in ways that go beyond performance and more attitude.
No, I don't know.
We need that morale boost up until June when Cole's back, because we have
I don't believe in magic. I don't believe in morale boost. I don't believe in spells. Thanks for the call, Ryan. Like, I don't know what you're on. I thought you were trolling for a second. Gerrit Cole is the reigning AL Cy Young winner. He is the only constant in that rotation. Last year, like, there is no morale. There is the fact that, like, last year you could bank on Cole Day. You could bank on him being the stopper. If they have a losing streak, well, here comes Gerrit Cole. If they're about to get swept, well, here comes Gerrit Cole. If the bullpen's taxed and you're seeing that bullpen budget on Yes Network, don't worry about it. Cole's going to get you to the seventh, maybe eighth, maybe ninth inning. They don't have that now. And they also don't have the same bullpen. So Tuesday, I laid into it. Tuesday, I did the whole doom and gloom spiral, and I actually let my worst thoughts come out on air. And I don't fully believe all of this, but I do believe some of this. Without Cole, you lose a captain. And they lost a captain last year in Aaron Judge, and they had no identity. I was getting on the Fan saying the Yankees are in an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. Who's the leader of this team? Rizzo's concussed. He's out. Anthony Volpe is 22 years old. He can't lead the team. He's trying to find his way. They got to expect Jake Bowers and Billy McKinney and Willie Calhoun and Franchy Cordero, those guys, to do it. DJ is here or there. Glaber, I mean, for Glaber's bat, yo, bring the bat, but he's going to run into outs. He's going to boot a ball. He's going to throw the ball over the first baseman's head. Man, you need your high-paid players who have done it in this league, who have hardware like Cole and Judge. But Father Time is undefeated again. Cole is 33. His body's not the same. He's been boom, 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 whipping that arm for years now. And without him, behind him, you have Carlos Rodon, who, man, you can't sell me on Carlos Rodon. That's all I keep saying. There's no one that can sell me on him. Like, I know we're supposed to think, oh, he's going to bounce back. From what I saw last year and even what I've seen in spring training, I just don't see him turning back into that dominant force that he was with the Giants and even with the White Sox. This is a whole different ballgame pitching for the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, in the AL, in the AL East. Marcus Stroman, fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed that this guy has the best year of his career. But he's a guy that I know, like, I hope he gets off Instagram, and I hope he doesn't listen to everything. I hope he doesn't ever listen to the Fan. I hope he doesn't read too much on Twitter. You know, he's unblocking people on Twitter. I just feel like he is a guy that's very susceptible to any of the criticism and negativity, and that's all the Yankee fan base is. Nestor's going to be fine. If Nestor's healthy, he's fine. Nestor's a dog. He's a competitor. Nestor knows, hey, I've made it this far. Like, man, all this is bonus. Clark Schmidt, I think, will be fine too. But sooner rather than later, earlier than you expect, obviously, because Cole is down and Hal is not going out there to buy Blake Snell, and Jordan Montgomery's not interested in coming here. And why the hell would you get Michael Lorenzen? He's not going to help you in October. You're going to see the backup five to the starting five, which I've gone through, of Will Warren, Chase Hampton, Clayton Beter, Luke Weaver, and Luis Heal. Those guys, you're going to see them. You're going to see those guys. So it is what it is. If they don't hit, that's where I feel like We're a lot better than last year. I don't think there's going to be a if they don't hit. They might start slow hitting, right? They might start the season off, not tearing the cover off the ball. But when you look at this lineup,
if DJ just is somewhat of a hitter, I don't know how long he stays at the top of the lineup. If Judge is healthy, we know what Judge is. Juan Soto is a superhuman. Juan Soto, healthy in that batter's box, he's going to put on a show. Not worried about him. Rizzo, I feel like Rizzo, with these guys batting in front of him, Rizzo is back. Not worried about him. Gleyber Torres, he's going to bring his bat. Not worried about him. Stan, I don't know what we're going to get out of Stan. I feel like Stanton is cooked. If Stanton doesn't strike out and can give us, I don't know, some doubles, some hard hit doubles, maybe 20 home runs. Give me 25 home runs, please. Alex Verdugo is a sneaky bat in this lineup. Alex Verdugo, I'm excited about. Trevino being back helps too. It helps the whole rotation, to be honest with you. Like, Cole won the Cy Young with Ben Rortvedt. And then Volpe, yeah. And then even young Austin Wells. They have enough guys, man. They have enough guys. But without Cole, that is a hit to who you know you were or supposed to be. Ed is out in Mohegan on the Fan. Go for it, Ed.
Hey, man. Listen, I'm 57, and I have a lot of friends that are in their 20s and stuff, in their 30s. And they're always talking to me about the 80s and how they wish they were alive in the 80s. And, you know, what were the Yankees
just
like
to
in
see
the
Donnie
80s?
Baseball.
Well, you've got Donnie Baseball, but the point is, the Yankee, I mean, Donnie made his bones. You know, he was great, but I mean, the Yankees, these fans are going to get a chance to see what the 80s Yankees were like, the Andy Hawkins Yankees were like.
No.
Because that's the way this team is. That's where they're headed.
No.
I mean, how you can have, well, let me finish what I'm saying. Let me make my point. You got Marcus Stroman that does not want the ball for opening day. That's just unacceptable. You're a Yankee. And you're asked to take the ball on opening day, and you don't take it. I don't want to hear it. We need players like we used to have, not just in the '70s when they won, but also in the '90s. They had gritty players, and I'm not talking about guys like Jeter and Bernie, who were great. I'm talking about guys like Graham Lloyd, just tough guys. Don Zimmer in the dugout. You know, there were just certain guys: Jeff Nelson, Mike Stanton, the real Mike Stanton. They were tough. You know, we don't have tough. Even A-Rod, as big of a star as A-Rod was, he was still tough. They got in some brawls. The Yankees and the Red Sox did it all the time. You just don't see it anymore. Yankees, Red Sox lost all its juice because these players are too nice. They need to sign Bauer. I mean, they sign Montgomery. And I know Montgomery said he doesn't want to play in New York, but I take what these players say with a grain of salt. I mean, Saquon wanted to be a Giant for life. Yeah, where is he now? Back up the Brinks truck, pay him. He deserves it. He proved he could pitch in New York even after coming off Tommy John, because if Cole winds up getting Tommy John, you're going to lose him for this year and for all intents and purposes next year, because it takes time to recover. So even if he comes back in 25, let's say in June or July, he's not going to be the same pitcher maybe until 26, maybe. You're going to need these guys. I'm just surprised. Even guys like Brett Gardner, the Savages, I mean, they lost their juice, the Yankees. Yankees, Red Sox, they both lost their juice.
Thanks for the call, Ed. And when I was saying no, I wasn't trying to cut you off. I'm just saying no, I don't see it, and I don't want it. And those clips of Yankee Stadium, old Yankee Stadium with no one in the stands, that's not going to happen. These tickets are sold, and they're still selling, and that place is going to be packed. Even without Gerrit Cole, and the Yankee fans are ready. After 82-80, we back outside. We're in there. And with Stroman, can we stop? Stroman was asked if he wanted to take the ball. He wasn't told to take the ball. He wasn't asked to take the ball. They had a conversation with him. They cleared it up. So enough with attacking Marcus Stroman. He had the option. They had a conversation about it. And yeah, I do agree that they need to be tougher. They need to get back to being the Yankees. If you listen to me talk about watching them last year, any bums were circling the Yankees as, yeah, we can go to Yankee Stadium and get right. Yeah, we can beat these Yankees. They don't have Aaron Judge. And even when they did have Aaron Judge, he was compromised. And the last thing, you know, comparing Saquon to Monty, Saquon got paid. Yeah, he wanted to be here. They didn't want to pay him. I think if they threw the money at Monty, Monty would shut up and come right back home. They're not going to do it. It's a two-way street. They're not looking to pay Monty or Blake Snell. They're going to rest on their depth, and they're going to rest on the fact that they can trade before July 30th. But who's going to be available, and who knows what they're going to have to give, and who knows what other teams are going to have to give more than them? It's a competition all the way. Nobody wants to see the Yankees win. There's 29 teams in the New York Yankees. I'm up against it. 877-337-6666.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it at at shortstop, Jeter. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, yeah. Right back at it on The Fan, 11:30. Friday night in New York City, about to be Saturday. Keith McPherson on The Fan, another KM to 2 a.m. Let's get back into it. A couple breaks ago, Mario in Long Beach called to ask about my football career. And, you know, I've been putting stuff out, and this is something that I'm going to do more about. Meditation, focus, blocking out noise, negativity, haters, especially on the internet, because we're oversensitized now. And I mean, I'm grown, bro. Like, I'm a grown man. And I think back to when I was a kid and when I was younger and how much I just did not know about life and the world. And I'm blessed to be at the age that I'm at. But, you know, I was talking about how when I was in college, I partied a lot. I drank a lot. I was chasing girls. I was not taking sports too seriously. And in the beginning, I wasn't taking school too seriously. And, you know, I'm online. I see a young man that just said, "You're my favorite from 7 p.m. till it's over. Great work. Way to rep us." And I click on him. And he's a football player. Shout out to Elijah Thornton. And he's got his GPA up there, 3.0. He's in high school. Or he's going to graduate high school. But, you know, the message I want to send to the young kids that listen to this show at night that are athletes or not athletes, but sports fans in school, student athlete or just student, is that, you know, a lot of times you don't realize while you're in high school or when you're in college that, you know, you're young for that time. They say, you know, youth is wasted on the young. I think that's the quote. Yeah, youth is wasted on the young. Take advantage of the athleticism you have, the time that you have, the freedom that you have before the world gets tougher for you, before you have bills and before you know all of the weight of the world. Take advantage of having your parents providing a roof over your head, food. Like, man, it's such a blessing to have parents. Plural. If you have two parents that love you and care about you, you're blessed. Take advantage of that. Ask them questions. Use them as a resource, man. I love my mom, and I'm thankful for my mom for what she did. I know she did it on her own, and she had three kids, not just me. And, you know, I took my athleticism and my smarts and went to school. And honestly, I honestly knew when I was playing football in college, like I said, I played an all-star game with kids that went to the NFL. I played at James Madison University, Monmouth University with kids that went to the NFL. I wasn't NFL caliber. I think if I worked hard, right, you know, Brock Purdy is NFL caliber. And not for nothing, like Brock Purdy is better than NFL caliber. Like, you always hear the stories of the guys that were undrafted and make it. Like, I think I could have grinded it out. Like Chris Hogan, I went to school with. Chris Hogan is a great story. Ramapo, New Jersey. Chris Hogan actually came to Monmouth, and if I would have known, I worked out with him one time. It was me, Jose Gums, Chris Hogan, and a couple other guys just like running routes on the field at Monmouth, hitting the weight room in the summertime, and then he came in there. I honestly would have probably gutted it out and played my fifth year as a fifth-year senior, a redshirt senior, just to play with Hogan. But Hogan was undrafted, and Hogan played for a bunch of different teams in practice and got cut. Then he stuck with the Dolphins, and then he ended up on the Patriots and becoming a champion. He grinded it out. But he was somebody that wasn't supposed to make it. And I mean, his story is crazy. He played lacrosse. But what I'm saying is, you know, when you guys are young, take advantage of it and don't get so pulled into the partying and the girls and the alcohol. That'll always be there. It's still there for me if I wanted it to be. But when I was exposed to it young and I didn't have guidance and I didn't have someone to tell me, hey, man, lock in. You're not going to be fast forever. You're not going to be this athletic forever. You have a small window
to maximize your talent. Like, if you guys are playing sports in high school, college, make that the main thing and try and, like, keep that in the front of your mind. And, like, the other stuff can wait. 877-337-6666. Now, I don't have any regrets because God had a plan for me. I'm on the Fan in New York. Ultimately, I used my athleticism to go to college, and I hung it up when I knew that I needed to graduate. I dropped out twice. I dropped out of James Madison University, just didn't want to play football anymore, hated it. Transferred home, went to Brookdale Community College for like a semester, and then enrolled in Monmouth and got a scholarship there and played. And then when I didn't want to play there, I just stopped going to class again. But then I eventually enrolled back again, gave my scholarship back, and took out a couple loans to finish. But I knew what I wanted to do. I graduated with a communication, radio, and television degree, and I knew that I wasn't going to be Michael Vick. You know, that's somebody that when I was playing in high school, I was looking at Michael Vick, and even when I was in college, I had, like, Vick's cleats. I just, you know, it has nothing to do with what Vick got in trouble with. But I knew I just wasn't that fast, right? I ran a 4.56. I wasn't a 4.5 guy, 4.3 guy. I was strong, but I wasn't putting up 300 pounds on the bench. I was putting up, like, I think I got up, like, 275 on the bench. I think I could get, like, 12 reps at 225, 10 reps at 225. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I was a fringe guy. It would have taken a lot for me to make it. But I knew I had a brain. I knew I was intelligent. I knew I could speak. I knew I could read. I knew that, you know, I would be able to make it using the degree. And the athleticism, the sports was a vehicle to that. So, you know, there was this quote where it was like, you know, not all NCAA athletes are going pro in sports. Some of them go pro and some of them, remember that commercial? Like, yeah, a lot of NCAA athletes would have never gotten to school if they didn't have athletic ability. I used my athletic ability in college to get a degree. Nobody was paying for me to go to school. And look at me now, 877-337-6666. So, you know, to elaborate more on what Mario was saying before we get back to the calls on the Yankees and Cole's injury and what they're going to do, and even the Jets and Tyron Smith, and we have some more details on that contract. What Mario was seeing following me on Instagram, Twitter, I put out a video from a podcast that I did where I wasn't talking about sports. I was talking about grief, right? Losing my brother, the worst thing that ever happened to me. I was talking about, you know, quitting jobs and working in the city in New York and working desk jobs and minion jobs and being treated like nothing and then deciding to go for it. And people in my family and friends and people I knew laughing at me like, nah, you're not going to be what you think you are. You're a joke. Like, nah, this will never work. Go get a real job. Go back to doing what you're doing. I was old enough and mature enough to channel the right energy, focus, and block things out to actually do it. Now, if I had that when I was younger, maybe I would have gotten further in football, but it's just life. It's life experience. It's maturing. And I mean, you can't know everything. You got to live and you got to learn. All right, back to it. Speaking of living and learning, you would think that the Yankees would live and learn about their mistakes when their superpower is that they're the New York Yankees. They're worth $7.1 billion. I think they're worth more. Like, if the Yankees were to sell that franchise, what do you think the Yankees would be sold for? Maybe double that. So when we're talking about a luxury tax, when we're talking about a Blake Snell contract 3 years with opt-outs to shore up this run, this ride, like, I love the New York Yankees. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't a Yankee fan. The Yankees have been in so many parts of my life, but I'm honest about it. I don't believe them when they say they're hell-bent on being a champion. I don't believe them when they say they're all in because the actions don't match the words. Yeah, you made a trade for Juan Soto. He could be gone next year. Cole is compromised. Push your chips all the way in. I would read that article tonight and see that Blake Snell is potentially going to the Astros, a team that has owned me, a team that 2 years ago swept me out of the ALCS, and I'd have to play keep away. I'd spend the money so that that didn't happen. And I'd look at the injuries they have in their rotation and say, yeah, checkmate. Let us get him. And you figure it out with Verlander and Urquidy and McCullers and whoever else. And yeah, we've got some young guys, but we can't expect those young guys to help us in October. Blake Snell can help you in October. Mike is in Brick. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Yo, Keith, what's up, man? How you doing tonight?
I'm good, hanging out. Like that we can talk sports, but also, you know, put the message in the medicine a little bit with some life stuff, some real stuff, and maybe, you know, my message helps one person, one young person. I'm always rooting for these young kids.
You know what, Keith? Big up. It's stick up. And I want you to maybe explain to me. I'm such a big fan of your show and everything on WFAN. I want to talk about Derek Cole, but I want to talk to you about my experience as a Mets fan, but as a baseball fan. The first time I fell in love with baseball, the first baseball game I ever went to was David Cone's perfect game against the Montreal Expos.
Sick.
And I saw, literally, bro, and I'm just trying to, like, talk to you, but my God, the first baseball game I ever went to in my life, I saw David Cone's perfect game with my father. And it was so inspiring to me to watch this game and see it in real life. And I want to talk about Derek Cole and all these things, but my God, Keith, you know, I'm such a fan of yours, and I didn't get a chance to call in yesterday. And you talked about all these things, all these haters who talk about on the internet and how we think that internet is real life. We think about, we send messages on social media and we think that it's real life and we think about it's a real thing. And honestly, honest to God, man, I'm proud of you because you're doing the right thing, man. You're keeping it real.
Thanks for the call, Mike, and, you know, tell your dad thank you. You know, I didn't get to the ballpark with my dad until I was 23 or 24, right? We weren't together when I was younger. He was doing his own thing. My parents split up young. I mean, me in baseball, I took a liking to baseball. I asked my mom to sign me up for baseball. I asked my mom to take me to Little League camp. I was watching the TV, and, like, if you have a dad that took you to David Cone's perfect game, like, man, hug your dad. Tell your dad thank you, because that's enough to make you a baseball addict. That's enough to make you a fiend. That's enough to stay with you for life, because you're chasing that high. You're hoping that the next time you roll up to Citi Field or Yankee Stadium, you're sitting in there for history. And, you know, as we, you know, talk about haters in the internet, I like to speak on it because I know some of them are listening. And I also know that, like, some people get cyberbullied, and I feel for these young kids as well because they're not able to separate it. You know, there are kids that have taken their lives in this country based off of things that have been said about them on the computer. There are kids that don't understand, like, yo, you don't have to log on. You don't have to be on the app. Like, there are kids that are literally getting bullied, and they're affected. They're sick over it because kids are cruel, and they have the opportunity to go online and anonymously write terrible things. And, you know, I have seen terrible things written about myself, from racist things to just ridiculous lies, to all types of stuff, especially getting on this platform. And I originally thought, like, I could come in and maybe change some of that. But then I took a look at the landscape, and everybody on WFAN gets hated on. It's par for the course. It's part of it. Like, if you have this job or this opportunity, you're blessed enough to get on the mic, you're going to have critics, skeptics, and you're going to have people that in some way just feel like they can throw stones and hide their hands, and that's perfectly fine that you do that. But I like to get on this mic and remind people that's fake. Everybody that I meet is nice. Everybody I meet is cool, and you should be cool because you can't act like that in the real world. There's repercussions for what you say in the real world. You can do that online and get away with it. You can't do that in real life. And with Garrett Cole and the Yankees and that injury, I don't know. We're going to go on the ride together. We're back on the roller coaster, folks. It's going to be a long ride. I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm on record saying I want to win the World Series, but if I had to take the Yankees or the field, I'm taking the field. 877-337-6666. More of that talk, more Yankees, Jets. I definitely want to get back to Tyron Smith because we have the details of his contract. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Hey, yo. Keith McPherson on the Fan. The Rough Riders anthem is just so New York. Classic. Let's get back into it, man. 877-337-6666. The time is flying by. It's almost 12. I only have 2 hours, so let's try and hit these faster. If you're on hold, stay on hold. I'll try and get to you. Matt and Peter, hold. We're going to get to you guys, but I want to mention this. So Paulie brought to my attention during the break that, you know, the Tyron Smith contract said it was up to $20 million for this one-year deal. And, I mean, this is the NFL. If he stays healthy, right, if he's on the field, right now we're looking at the Jets' offensive line like, Joe Douglas, you've done it, man. It's March 15th. In 1 week, you've rebuilt this wall in front of Aaron Rodgers. Let's ride. But Pro Football Talk just put out initial indications of the Tyron Smith deal. It's $6.5 million guaranteed with another $13.5 million to be earned based on playing time and other incentives. That's why the Jets were surprised he took the offer. I thought he was going to go play for the Chiefs. But the Jets probably put an offer together where two things were present. One, escalators for how many games he plays. 5, 10, 15, playoffs. Playoffs? And also, how far the Jets go. Like, if you're on a Jets team that wins the AFC East, if you're on a Jets team that gets to the AFC Championship, if you're on a Jets team that wins the Super Bowl, and it...
Holy shit.
Oh, my, come on. Yeah. Loopy on the late night, that Friday night vibe. You guys been drinking? You can't curse. It's a children's program. So, I don't know.
This guy, man. Wait, and he didn't mean it. I know he didn't mean it. I dumped it. You dumped it.
Yeah, twice.
And then we bring it back, and we had to dump it again, and now we can't take a call.
Because we got to wait. We got to wait it out.
If you want to call back, I'll allow you back on, but you got to be better. You got to be paying attention.
I can hear him in the background telling his boy, like, yeah, he's a Cowboys fan. I want to ask him. Yeah.
Turn the radio off when you're on hold to everybody. Turn the radio off. You can listen when you're on hold.
I don't know. I just thought that was funny. I'm like, these guys must have been having a couple brews or something. And, man, I laugh because I feel like sometimes I do the show and I want the vibe to feel like we're all kind of hanging out, talking sports. But then the vibe gets too comfortable where you guys are like, we're on the radio. This is live. A lot of people can hear this. We can't curse. That's the number one thing. It's got to be clean. Let's go to Mike in Secaucus, New Jersey. Secaucus, my wife always says. It's not Secaucus. It's Secaucus, New Jersey, on the Fan.
Yo, Keith, what's going on?
You know, trying to have a good time and keep it clean for the children listening at home.
Yeah, we'll keep it clean. I just want to say one thing. You're a Jersey City boy. My dad's an ex-Engine 22 firefighter, Jersey mm-hmm. City. Just want to give all the Jersey City firefighters love. I really resonated with what you said about, you know, in college, the girls, the party and all that. When you're young, you don't really realize what you have until you lost it. And I was a Division I baseball player, same thing, scholarship, all that. And while you're there, you get caught up in everything.
Oh, yeah.
And it's real easy to get caught up. And when it's gone, I blew up my arm and all that. You look back and you're like, man, I wish I would have done this differently. And for all the young kids out there, it's like, don't ever take any single day for granted. You know, every single day you have.
Put in work. Yeah.
Put in work, you know. And those parties, man, they mean nothing to your future. It's
Yep, you barely remember them. They're all a blur. I hung out with the baseball players at JMU and Monmouth a lot. There was a lot of times I was the only football player kicking it with the baseball players at both schools. And the baseball players, all they did was pack lips and booze straight up.
Oh, packing lips is number one thing. But, you know, even that, packing lips is bad.
Right. But you don't know because you're 18, 19, 20 years old. And every night it's doo-doo-doo. Yo, where you at? Yo, I'm over here, bro. Yep. All right, pick up a 30 rack. All right, word. I'm going to get a handle. Boom. Some other stuff that you won't say on the radio. And then next thing you know, you're having a powwow. And it's like, yo, what do you guys got to do tomorrow? Oh, I got an 8 a.m. class.
I got
a lift, but nobody cares.
Or you got lift, speed training, practice.
Nobody cares. You're passing the night time, getting too loose. And it's like, yo, call the girls over from the softball team. Call the girls over from the lacrosse team. Field hockey team, and before you know it, you graduate, and you didn't achieve what you necessarily could have achieved on the field, in the classroom, and none of that time mattered. Like, in the moment, you think it's so fun, you think it is primary, but, like, now looking back, I can't really give you one specific, like, party or time. They were all bad times. The ones that stand out were when,
you
like,
would trade it all back to go right back to that moment.
Oh, yeah. I look at my son. Thanks for the call, Mike. I look at my son. He's 11 months, and I'm like, if my son is a college athlete and he has me as a dad, he's probably going to be annoyed because I'm going to be pulling up and checking on him. And I'm going to be reminding him. And I'll use myself as an example. I'm like, listen, son, you got this for a little bit of time. Like, even if you don't go pro, don't you want to be as good as you can be and maximize your talent in this moment? Like, the parties can wait. Go to sleep at night. Hit the books. Go to the library when everybody else is going to the club. That's another thing. The clubs, like, what? Bro, and like JMU was a different kind of place, man. I was Spider-Man Far From Home. I was in a different land. And my eyes got open to so many different things down in Harrisonburg, Virginia, coming from Ocean Township, Monmouth County, New Jersey. I didn't last there. I lasted 3 semesters. I had to get up out of there.